This is Leonardo da Vinci is known to have been dissected more cadavers than anybody known, and studied them, drew them beautifully. This is Caro Leonardo 2020. Definitive dissector, inside out explorer. Could you help us concerning a soon-to-be cadaver? We'd like to send it your way, a body politic with a belly-heavy history of malignancies, a psychic house 4 centuries germy, now pandemic, become broke down. Could you please get out your saw and scissors, your scalpels and bistouries? See if you find anything, like let us know about the heart.
Thank you. That was very powerful. You're listening to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM. This is Wider Window Poetry. And my guest this month was Harold Johnson. Thank you for listening. KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at kboo.fm.
This is Norman Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. I've been a member of KBOO since 1987. I really appreciate their support of the multicultural community in Portland, Oregon, local music, and the preservation of blues.
I'm a bad girl, bad as I can be.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Stories with Stella. I'm your host, Stella, and today's episode is going to be in a little bit of a different format, separated into 15 or 20 minute segments, where I speak to you either by myself or with another person, and I'll separate those segments with some music. So let's dive right in. Something I really like to talk to people about when I'm talking about stripping or sex work of any kind has been my experience as a therapist in the strip club. I have primarily worked day shifts for about 4.5 years, and that's really my niche. That's where my skill set is. And a lot of dancers will have different skills. Some dancers are really amazing on the pole. Some dancers are really incredible hustlers, or they really know how to twerk their ass. There's quite a range of different skills. I found my particular skill was more on the therapeutic side, and more of my customers came in during the day. Most of my day shift clients are men between, I would say, 35 and 90. More heading up the 50s, 60s, 70s range. And a lot of these are older, white, cis, privileged men who live in a world that is kind of centered around them. And we live in a world, especially in 2020, that is focusing a lot of hatred and a lot of anger towards the cis, white, privileged male in our society for a lot of good reason. The one thing I'm not seeing out there is resources for how to help men learn. Because if anyone is yelling at you and calling you a piece of shit, you're not really gonna listen. You're gonna be in defensive mode. It's just human instinct. So something that I've noticed in the club is that a lot of men who come in are feeling a lot of that anger towards them in a lot of the culture, and they don't know where to go to ask, how can I be different? To somebody who's not gonna say, well, fuck you, you should already know. So they go to the strip club. And something I want to focus on too is that different customers come to the clubs for different needs. Some people come in and they just want to get a hard on, leave. And they come in for a bump and grind. They might not want so much conversation. On the other side of that, a lot of my customers, particularly in the day, come in more for human contact. They're seeking connection. And a lot of times they seek it through the sensual or the sexual aspect of the strip club because it's a normalized place to go for the cis white privileged man. We live in a culture that tells men to be a man, literally, and toughen up and not cry. And if you go to therapy, you must be crazy. So why are we so surprised that none of them are actually changing or learning? Now, something I've noticed is the strip club has become the socially acceptable place for men to find validation or therapeutic services. When they need somebody to look them in the eye and go, "Oh, I hear you, Bill. You're having a hard time, and nobody underneath you at work understands what it's like to be a boss, and it's really hard. You have a lot of responsibilities." Whatever it is they need to hear it from somebody, and they're not aware, they don't feel comfortable, or they're not accepted to find that through a certified therapist. And so a lot of men look for that kind of connection and validation at the club. And they come in expecting to get a lap dance from me, and they end up talking to me or crying in my arms for 20 minutes about how hard it is to feel attacked all the time by the culture. Something else that I think is really interesting that kind of contrasts a lot of the customers that I see are how much they're gonna listen to me. So a lot of times, if somebody pays a woman money, for example, in the strip club, you would think that they might have a sense of entitlement, and you would be right for part of the time. There are some men who, when they pay money to a woman, they feel entitled to say things that are not socially acceptable to say, to try and touch her in ways that were not previously agreed upon. They feel entitled to her body as an object. I don't like these clients. Don't be this client in the club. There's the other side of that. More of my clients had this interesting entitlement that would drop away the moment that they paid me money to listen to them talk. And a lot of times, grown men don't want to listen to what a 23-year-old stripper has to say. In any other scenario in this culture, they would absolutely not listen to what I have to say and most likely mansplain it to me. For example, I was in college for agriculture, and the program that I was in was primarily male. I was one of three women, and we had classes where even our teacher didn't really know what they were doing. And if me or one of the other women tried to speak up about something, all the other guys kind of said, "Oh, it's okay, we got it, we'll get it taken care of." And I know that that's true in a lot of industries in this culture. It's just kind of the sad fact of where we're at still in 2020. So something that I've noticed is really interesting is that I have been able to check a lot of men's privilege and educate them in a way that they will listen. And sometimes I have to say it in a way that will pamper to their male privileged ego that our culture has bred them to have. So in order to get past their defensive mechanisms that are so riled up from being attacked all the time, I have learned that sometimes it takes almost baby talking men in a certain way to really educate them and say, "Oh, hey, Bill, that's really hard that your daughters aren't really listening to what you have to say. And, you know, your wife seems to be really upset a lot and not really happy in the marriage. You know, maybe have you thought about what it would be like if you were in that position and you heard what you said to her being said to you? Oh yeah, it doesn't feel good. It wouldn't feel good, would it, Bill?" And a lot of times if you coddle them in a certain way, they can understand what it's like to put themselves in somebody else's perspective, in somebody else's shoes, and realize how shitty their actions can be. And that can create change. That can make them change their behavior, and that's something that really needs to happen more often. But just yelling at men and saying, "You're privileged, you suck, you're ruling the world, you don't even know, and you're a dumb piece of shit," how can we expect them to wanna grow when they're just feeling attacked all the time and we're telling them, "Tough it up, don't cry about it, don't go to therapy unless you're crazy"? And so a lot of them end up going to the club expecting to get a lap dance and instead getting an entire education on their privilege from me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's a really fun part of day shift. And you know, I think it's really important to just add that everybody needs validation and human contact. We all need it in some form or another. It's a human desire that we all have to have other people see us and hear us and confirm and say that they believe in our beliefs so that we feel connected to the human race in some way. And a lot of people, a lot of the cis white privileged male community, has grown up in a culture that has built up their ego and not given them any way to even want to look at things from a different perspective. And so I really appreciate the strip club culture for having that much power and providing such a service that should be more normalized, and it should be easier for men to feel comfortable to go get a therapist and in not pay me twice as much as they would pay a therapist. Ultimately, a lot of the people who come in really need that therapeutic service, and they're just not comfortable getting it from somewhere else. And it strikes me as interesting that Portland has, and Oregon in general, has such a racist and intensely horrific history in this state, and we're the state with the most strip clubs per capita, whatever, in whatever city you want to claim it to be. And I think that says a lot about the kind of services that a lot of people need, and that they're not getting met in other ways, and that's why the strip club culture has really thrived here. And I've personally dealt with my fair share of clients and customers who've come in who have Aryan ink and who have Confederate flags on their clothing or Trump signs on their truck outside, and it riles me up. And sometimes I can't handle it and I just choose not to interact. And sometimes they are really seeking just some validation and some human contact. And ultimately, as a human being, I think everyone deserves that. And if during that connection I can have a conversation and try and educate them a little bit on how to change their behavior and create a little less hatred in this world, then I'm going to use every opportunity I get in order to impact that kind of change. And that's the use of my privilege in the club as a white, thin female dancer that men will pay for dances, is that means they're going to listen to me as well. And so to use that privilege means to talk to the customers that I have whose opinions I don't agree with. If I have the strength on that particular day to broach that subject and dive into educating somebody, then that's how I choose to use my privilege in the club and to try and educate people and check this privilege and entitlement anywhere we can. And the amount of vulnerability that happens within a club provides a lot of opportunity for that. And that's something else I want to bring in too, to connect that vulnerability to the human connection that people need and the validation. People need to feel vulnerable. They need to have some outlet where they can feel vulnerable with somebody or intimate with somebody. And intimacy is not always sexual. And I think it gets a lot of connotation for that in our culture. But intimacy can be brought in a lot of ways that have absolutely nothing to do with sex, and is an innate human desire to be intimate, to be vulnerable with somebody, to be validated, to have a connection with somebody. And that's something that the strip club offers that not a lot of other businesses offer. And that's why I think it's really important that we normalize the culture and the services that are offered there. So that's just my take on one aspect of how stripping can be therapy. And I know I'll dive back into this much more further in this episode and probably others as well, because it's a deep topic. For now, I'm going to take a little break and play some music, and then we'll pop back in soon.
A girl who wants my kisses and my arms, a girl with all the charms of you. Venus, make her fair. I love the girl with sunlight in her hair. And take the brightest stars up in the skies and place them in her eyes for me. Surely the things I ask can be
promise that I always will be true. I'll give her all the love I have to give, as long as we both shall live. It pleases me. Are you ready for this action? Does it give you satisfaction? That pleases me. When I touch you, do you quiver from your head down to your liver?
I'm in a move. for some of your love,
baby.
And you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
Welcome back to Stories with Stella. Because of our current situations, I am recording all of this in my living room, so you might hear my dog growling and chewing on his bone a little bit in the background, but his advice is warmly welcomed. Today, I'm also joined by my roommate, Hazel, as well.
Greetings. We're gonna do a nice social distance discussion.
Yeah, and how we've been adapting to having all the strip clubs closed and that form of income being down. And so some of the ways that many people have been transferring their income has been moving to platforms like OnlyFans and Patreon, both of which we have been trying out and navigating the wild world of online hustling, which has been interesting. You started an OnlyFans the very beginning of quarantine, right?
I did. Turns out we're in a pandemic. And yeah, a lot of swerkers across the borders have been expanding their means of income with a lot of clubs and nightlife closed. Mm-hmm. Because that extends way far beyond strip clubs.
Yeah, just being even able to meet up with clients to exchange underwear off Craigslist in public places. It's hard to find public places. I've had to navigate with a certain foot client where we meet in my van in the parking lot of a gas station because that's what we have access to right now.
I love how we have the kind of relationship where I gave you a foot fetish referral.
It's one of my favorite stories. I'm a big fan. For those who haven't heard this already, on our first episode we talked about briefly, Hazel has been selling her underwear on Craigslist. And it's been going pretty well. And then somebody sent you an email asking for a special request, right?
That's true. And the truth is, the dirty truth, is that normally I would be fine with something like that. It's not a fetish that I'm necessarily uncomfortable with, but recently I had one of my friends accidentally step on my toe, and it is mangled, y'all. It is... It
doesn't even look that...
There was, like, a fat bruise under the... My big toenail, it's just not pretty. I can't get pedicures right now. Everything's closed. So I was like, my feet are in no shape to be worshipped at the moment. But I do know somebody very near and dear to me who would be probably more than glad to help you out there.
And I was. So I met this fellow once before quarantine had started. And so I met up with him two following times for him to lick my toes and my feet. Really all over my feet. Smell them, sniff them, the whole deal.
Was that your first time doing something like that in a paid format?
No, but first time outside of the club. I've definitely had foot customers before in the club, but I've never navigated meeting them outside. And not having access to a public restaurant or a open space was a little tricky, but it ended up going very well. And I've actually had a couple regulars from Lucky Devil who have been very kind and considerate and checking up on me and sending me cash as just a form of support since I haven't been able to see them. And in exchange for that, I'll send them every now and then a good morning. Hope you have a good day. Hope you're having a good week. Stay healthy, stay well, thinking of you. So that's been a nice way to make some income. I started a Patreon 2 months ago. Not had really any luck with it.
Yeah, it's really a challenge these days to, I feel like, build a brand, which is a lot of the attraction to online smut.
Yeah, having something that makes you stand out.
Right. It's really hard to convince people to buy your content if you're not there to interact and make that really personal connection that a lot of people need and thrive on with these kind of exchanges.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really different format. I'm so used to being in the club and being able to connect with people person to person where we can smell each other and look into each other's eyes. And it's really different trying to promote yourself through online in a way where you can only talk to them. And so it's limiting, and some people are really, really amazing at it, and I'm very impressed and admire some of my friends who've been able to do well with it. personally, it's been a bit of a struggle for me lately, but it's been a fun endeavor to try out.
It is one of those things where I feel like you have to have what the kids are calling clout. For
clout.
You other generations mm-hmm. that may not know what that means, it's just internet fame, a lot of following, and you have to be able to promote yourselves on those platforms in order to gain an audience, and that's really limiting for the people that don't share that part of their lives with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, more on my closeted. Social medias, I have all private profiles, which can make it pretty much impossible for anyone to find me unless I'm giving out my usernames and my info.
Yeah, it can take so much work building the second identity. We have a friend that we used to work with, Paisley Page. She's represented by Hussy Models, and she's working as a porn actress and doing pretty well. And she's also doing a lot of the online stuff. And I am absolutely blown away by how much work she puts in. And she promotes on all, many, many different platforms. And
what's her primary platform? Is it Twitter?
I think it's Twitter because it's the most uncensored. And that's another thing when it comes to promoting, especially with sex work, is finding platforms that support it. And Instagram likes to ban people or shadow ban, which means that their followers can't see what they're posting.
And that's transferable to Tumblr, used to be kind of the old Twitter, where it was just a, it's a blogging website, and you can basically, how would you describe it, take other people's content? It's a lot easier to share.
Yeah, reshare other people's content.
And that makes it easier to promote each other if you were, I don't know, partnered with another person that wanted to exchange usernames.
Yeah, and I think that's where clout comes in a lot. If somebody has got 100 followers, possibly reposting their stuff, resharing their posts, versus somebody who has 20,000 followers, they're going to reach a much wider audience and find more people who fit their niche for whatever their brand is. I think that's where the money can hit.
A concern, even though in that respect for me nowadays, is I feel like a lot of people that have, you know, thousands of followers are prone to getting spam followers of like spam profiles and people that don't exist or catfish
or people who steal their accounts. I actually reported a fake account that somebody had been stealing Paisley's pictures and had made an Instagram account promoting and
That's
had made
so
an OnlyFans too, using the photos. So I guess they had subscribed to her OnlyFans at some point, stolen the content, and then created another OnlyFans to therefore profit off of her content, which is really fucked up and happens a lot more often than we realize.
One thing I did notice with doing some research in that website is that there's a pretty thorough background check. They do, like, you know, they take all of your license and your credit card information, your bank account information. And so why wouldn't they monitor that the people and the pictures that they're posting are themselves? Like, that's the least they can do, right?
Yeah, it's not that hard to do a verification. And from what I know, my days of posting on Reddit, I had to send in something, a picture of myself holding a piece of paper that had my username and the date of the day I was taking the picture.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of prove that it was me. And I think with a picture of my driver's license with it too. And that way they could verify it was me on that day posting that picture and not. So if Reddit can do it, OnlyFans should be able to do it.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if it's just the bong rip that I took, but now I'm going deeper in the rabbit hole. Like, can't people just Photoshop a picture of you holding a sign with the date? Like,
yeah, people can also do that.
There's
so many ways to
go through to stalk people on the internet
and profit
off them. It's astounding.
It's ridiculous. The amount of time.
It's modern day identity theft.
Yeah,
truly.
Absolutely. And with like
new age stalking, they're getting smarter.
All of her pages public to gain more followers,
mm-hmm.
so that just means more people can access her content and the content that she's using for promotion. The internet is a blessing and a curse.
That is tough. For those of you who don't know the outline format of this website, it's typically on a subscription basis, and you can, the content creator, because it goes far beyond nudity, there's fitness bloggers and makeup enthusiasts and chefs, like aspiring chefs, that use this platform to, I guess, what would you call it? It's more like a side hustle, but turned career for some people in these times.
Yeah, some people are doing really well with it. I personally have been enjoying and reaping the benefits of OnlyFans. On the other side of things, I underwent a wisdom tooth extraction, and the recovery was a little more brutal than necessary. And while I was wallowing in pain, I decided to use my stimulus from Donald Trump to purchase a few OnlyFans. And most of them were people that I know, that I wanted to support financially, and that was a small way to support them and get to see sexy pictures of my friends and get to see them hustling and working really hard. So that's been a fun little treat every day. And interesting to go from one side of posting nudes on Patreon to paying and tipping people on OnlyFans. It feels good to tip other sex workers.
Definitely. And as a queer woman, I'm sure that goes far beyond just helping.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely
a fellow sex worker.
Pleasurable as well.
Yes, I love that. What would you say the similarities and differences of OnlyFans and Patreon are?
I feel like.
Do you think they have different audiences?
Yeah, I think OnlyFans has more people on there looking for porn because Patreon discriminates a little bit more. Like, you're not supposed to post porn, but nude art is allowed.
Right.
So versus OnlyFans, you can post a video of yourself using a vibrator with a butt plug up close, and OnlyFans is fine with that. But they're going to take 20% versus Patreon. It's not okay with that kind of content, but I can post my nude selfies out in the forest, and they only take 6%. So the amount the website takes is also more.
I heard they were upping that 6%.
I would believe it.
I do know that OnlyFans takes 20%, and that's pretty similar to the expected tip out at the end of the night for staff at clubs.
Yeah, for dancing, it's probably about 20% you end up handing out.
Or a restaurant. I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty,
really any tip
pretty common. Courtesy there.
And I've heard that OnlyFans taking 20% is on the lower end of websites taking money. I think ManyVids takes 40%. I could be totally wrong
really?
On that. That's just what I've
that seems high.
Heard from one person. So that's not backed up by any research at all. I think the other difference too between Patreon and OnlyFans that I've seen is Patreon.
I'm gonna look that up for science.
OnlyFans, you pay a price and you get access to all of the content that has been posted. Patreon, you can sign up for a different tier. So if I post something on Patreon, I can decide whether all four tiers of people can see it, or just the first tier, or just the second. I can kind of pick and choose which tiers. And so I have a $10 tier, a $20, a $50, and a $100. And so some photos are going to be available for only the $50 and up, and some are going to be available for all the platforms. And so I kind of like that layout so that if somebody only wants to pay a small bit for a teaser, they get just a limited amount of content. Versus OnlyFans, somebody can pay a price once and get access to everything that you've posted.
ManyVids, the information I'm getting says 80% payout, so that means they're taking 20%.
That sounds like 20%, yeah, not 40.
That's interesting that they word it as a payout instead of taxes. They're trying to trick you.
And then of that money that you're getting, you also have to set some aside for paying your taxes at the end of the year, because they send you a 1099 as an independent contractor. So a lot of the women that I know who have made a career out of OnlyFans have to set aside a significant chunk of money to pay taxes at the end of the year, which is something I think a lot of people don't think about. But a lot of dancers and sex workers actually do pay taxes if they're doing it through taxable routes. I was thinking of chatting about when we first started dancing and how we kind of kept our identity separate / connected to us. Is there any way that you feel like Hazel, did you create her from somewhere?
Growing into this identity was very unique because I feel like it's part of me that's always existed in some way or another. And the more I learned about myself and the world, it became very apparent. And I was able to let that person develop, but also have the ability to not take my work home with me, as mm-hmm. should most people across all professions be able to do successfully.
It can be tricky.
Yeah, I know that goes far beyond this industry. I mean,
mm-hmm. the medical field, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure everyone's they see. Or therapists in office, not Mondre therapists.
Yeah, I'm sure we've all heard the therapists needing therapists.
Yeah, that can be very true. I had this visualization that I started doing when I first started dancing that I would do in the car before I started a shift and after I ended a shift. And I kind of imagined in my head that there was like an FBI interrogation room, one with the one-way mirror window. And so whoever was in the box could see out, but whoever was outside the box controlling the body could only see a mirror. So they couldn't see in the box. And so I kind of had this idea that when I got to work, my identity went into the box and there was chocolate and books and my dog was there and lots of soft blankets and I could go hang out. And Stella would come out and Stella was there for business. She was there to make money. She was there to listen to people's problems. And Stella knew how to not bring in any of my own personal issues. It was a way for me to keep them separate. So I could see outside the box. I could watch what Stella was doing with my body. And Stella couldn't see in to see what I was thinking or what, if I had had a fight with my boyfriend. Stella didn't know about it. That's not her problem. She was just there to make money. And then at the end of a shift, I'd get back in my car and Stella would go in the box and I would come out of the box and come back into my body. And Stella would go dance on a pole in the box and chocolate, hang out in soft blankets. But I feel like it really helped me stay grounded when I was feeling an identity crisis between myself and Stella, this character that I created. But it also helped me learn how to set boundaries, because when I was nervous about being on stage in front of people or nervous about how to tell people that they couldn't do certain things, Stella knew how to do that, and she didn't have a problem with setting boundaries and putting people in their place. And so I watched her through the window in that little box and learned how to set boundaries in my life outside, so that even when Stella was in the box and I was out of the club and walking around in my daily life, I was learning how to set boundaries so that I could do it in the club myself and not need to have that visualization anymore.
Was that a technique you developed on your own, or did you do research?
No, it was just kind of an intuition place. My mom definitely taught me a lot of visualizations growing up, and it felt like a way to keep my information private, because I feel like if I were to be myself, I would be sharing details. And it was also kind of like assuming a role. I grew up acting in plays and going to acting camps, and I come from a family of actors and actresses. So I kind of feel like it was a way for me to assume the character of Stella. And Stella knew how to do things that I didn't, because that was the role that I had written for myself. I feel like it's been for the best.
So I think we're going to take a break there for a little bit more music, and we'll be right back with you.
Thank you. get shy or did something wrong? You stylish when you got nothing on, yeah. And all I do is make these fucking songs. So, finally I made a fucking song. And now she coming closer. Up she goes, she wanna jump my bones. You want it, don't you? I was a soldier, now I'm coming home. The war's over. Kick down the door, I hold you, bend you, never break it. Need to smell your sweet aroma. See, I know you smell like cinnamon. Kissing your lips, I lift my fingertips and get your clitoris in a mix. My dick on business trips, my tongue twisting, it's tickling just a little bit. I'm swimming inside of your skin like a river in the Caribbean. It's okay that you like it, man. It's alright that you misbehave. It's okay to live this way. You live like a baby.
Oh baby,
chillin' with the AC. It's just the way that we are. You and me, super freaks, here we are. I'm taking care of each and every part. I open up your legs and go straight for your heart. To the vine, who am I? Well, I'm Mr. Superfly. I'm Mr. Bowie, blew your mind. Hot as June, July. I wanna make your world so full. Girl, you my painting, you my art installation. Gonna fuck you, put you on the wall. All I wanna do is show you off. I want to put you on, why would I ever blow you off? Right now, let's go get lost. Jet, I've been way too high for way too long, I'm so exhausted. Whether that's your mind or line, we still get crossed. First your man is gone. Never understand until you have to stand alone. Can I have a hand to hold? A band-aid for my damaged soul. I paint the planet gold, swear I'm Michelangelo. I don't understand it so.
My heart, my heart, my heart.
What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk is I'ma get you drunk. All that junk, all that junk is I'ma make you scream. All that junk, all that junk is I'ma get what you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk is I'ma make check it out.
Welcome back. I'd like to take just a quick moment to express my appreciation and gratitude for the opportunity to utilize this platform on the radio and online to share some stories and some perspectives and maybe break down some of the stereotypes and taboos around sex work. I also really appreciate having the freedom to play whatever music I want to. So there's going to be a strange mix in this and upcoming episodes. For anyone interested in what songs are being played, I will be uploading a set list to the Stories with Stella site on kboo.com. So if anyone would like to check out what I've been playing, there'll be some things there. I'm going to keep using this platform on a monthly basis to share some silliness, make y'all laugh and smile, and maybe bring in some education for a few people as well. So if you or anyone you know would like to chat, please send me an email at storieswithstellax@yahoo.com. If you have any comments, questions, input, I'm open to all of your magic, and I will keep recording these episodes. So excited to share more with y'all. Take care for now.
like, when you played the fucking keyboard, I was stupid drunk.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, it was the wrong, and I was just incoherent.
I can't see right now.
Bitch.
Okay,
sweeter than a motherfucking snow cone. Sassy little bitch, I'm ripping so cold. Booty getting fat in me a Gladstone. Cotton candy drip down to my ankles. Sweeter than a motherfucking snow cone. Sassy little bitch, I'm ripping so cold. Booty getting fat in me a Gladstone. Cotton candy drip down to my ankles. Call your sugar daddy cause he blowing up my phone. I don't need his money, bitch, I get it on my own. Need to flex, oh honey, they already know. Don't be mad at me, cause they keep begging me for more. Bang it up, pick it up, hit it up, on to the next one, give it up. Hop on top, then I drop you off, then I vroom vroom quick enough.
And I don't say sorry, sorry.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Does your employer have a matching gifts program?